Let us pray. I probably say that a lot. Let us pray. It's time to pray. Getting together with family and friends, 9 times out of 10, I get asked to pray. I said, you know, I'm not the official prayer. The rest of y'all know how to pray. Well, oh, yeah, but you know, whatever. And usually I say, let us pray. We come to the table, let us pray. We've come together as family, whatever, let us pray. What a powerful image today in our text. What a hopeful image for those of us who try to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We try to serve our risen Savior, to be the church in the world. It's a beautiful passage that Jesus prays for us, that Jesus prays for you and I. Jesus prays for us that we might be faithful and that we might be well in the world around us. This world that can be frightening and dangerous, it can scare us. For those called to live and proclaim the gospel, it can be a strange and painful place. But Jesus prays for us. That should give us just an awe and say, wow, Jesus prays for me. Prior to his arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion, Jesus gathers his disciples and he offers his final instruction to them concerning what is to happen to him and how they will shape and define their life together as the church. He's teaching them right to the very end. Following his instruction with the disciples still gathered, Jesus prays for them. And we hear these words in verses 6 and verse 11. He says, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. Holy Father, he says, protect them. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are all one. More than likely, it is not the first time Jesus had prayed for his disciples. And it certainly is not the last time. But here it is this most difficult hour when they should have been praying for him. Jesus looks up to heaven and he prays for his disciples. He holds the church up to God and he asks for the continued well-being of those who have followed him. Knowing what is awaiting him, he knows what's at hand. Jesus understands the reality of evil and the hostile nature and the great peril that is about to happen, even death. Because of their faithfulness to his name, he knows that some will even have death upon them. Nonetheless, he says, just as God sent Jesus into this world, so now Jesus will send his followers into the world to continue the work that he has started, the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they should be one just as Jesus and God are one. You know, we are all one in Christ Jesus. How many times is that in the Scripture? We are all one. Now, let's be clear. To the point here is not some kind of sentimental unity and superficial lack of dissension that's within the church so that our lives can be free of conflict. No, that's not the issue. The issue is the unified witness of the church that comes together that witnesses to the gospel. In asking God to protect the disciples following his death and his resurrection, Jesus is not promising the church a life free from hardship and suffering. Oh no. But rather, Jesus demonstrates that although the world might hate us, and it does many times, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and the church's intimate relationship with God and with one another through Jesus Christ will enable you and I and empower us to persevere in our faithfulness. Jesus prays for us, people. He prays for us so that we might be something that apart from him would be impossible. The church. If it was not for him, we could not be the church. Jesus also asked that his followers be sanctified in the truth for continued growth in godliness and righteousness. He prays that our lives might each day come to resemble his own. We're supposed to grow closer and closer and look more and more and resemble him in our actions, in our deeds, in the way we live our life. He prays that our hearts might be one with him and one with one another. Mother Teresa years ago was reflecting upon her ministry with the poor. And she remarked that she often prayed to God that she would not lose her grip on the hand of Christ. To not lose her grip on the hand of Christ. How comforting to know that a saint of the faith needed to pray that prayer. Even more, it is comforting to know that Jesus prays that prayer on our behalf, and He asked the Lord to keep us united in the love with Him. To be in love with Him, to continue to be united in that love. In praying this prayer, Jesus invites us to join Him in a unique way. A unique way of life that we know as Christian discipleship. What might it mean today for pastors all over the world to pray this prayer on behalf of all those who have been entrusted to our care? If every pastor in every church, not every denomination around, was to pray for every one of you all, and I do pray for you all a lot, many by name when things are going on, but sometimes just in general, I group you all in a bunch once in a while, but to pray for you. Because I know, guess what? I know you're praying for me. We have to pray for one another. We have to pray. What would it be like if every pastor prayed for their church, their people, their community? Of course, we cannot pray the prayer as Jesus did because we are not Him. We are not Jesus. We're not God. But what if Jesus' words and way with His disciples became the way that you and I live among those whom we serve? And you know, you all serve as well. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, you serve as well. You're part of the church. What might our ministry look like if we spent as much time holding the church before the Lord and asking God to protect and sanctify the church as we do complaining about what is wrong with the people we are supposed to love and serve? What if you guys, as members of the body of Christ and fellow followers of Jesus, devoted as much time and energy to praying for one another and asking God to support, to protect, and sanctify one another as we do gossiping and backbiting and complaining? Now, I hear a lot of complaints. I'm sorry, but I do. Some of them are well-intended and grounded, but then some of them are not. Some of them are kind of childish, and sometimes I would like to just say, shut up. But I can't. I can't. That's not a pretty word. My mama hated that word. She didn't like, but she, I just want to say, Lord. But I listen. But sometimes we need to think about what we're doing. If the church commits itself, the laity and the clergy alike, that's you guys, all of us, me and you, not only to pray in this prayer, but to live in it as well as we just might, as well as we can, by God's grace, come to resemble the beloved community we are called to be. If we work at it a little harder, instead of seeing something that is wrong all the time, try looking for what is right, you know? But try to find the good. The bad just pops up ugly, you know, all the time. You know, people will not remember all the things you did right, but they will definitely remember when you flub up. So, Wanda, we might remember it for a while. But we love you anyway. Because we do the same thing. You know, if you're here at choir practice, you would see many times that she says, wrong. But it's us. But we need to know that we all do those things, and we don't need to remember it. We need to just pray and say, thank you. Thank you for the good. As I pray and read Jesus' word, I am mindful of the mystery and the beauty of the Holy Trinity. One God in three persons. I am mindful of the holy communication, the intimate and eternal bond of love that exists among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Christ, you and I are invited to share in that relationship, the community, the fellowship that exists at the very heart of God. In Christ, we are caught up in the divine life. God has given to us the Son, and through that power, the Holy Spirit. We belong to Christ, and thus we belong to one another. The church is an icon of the Trinity in as much as our relationships, our fellowship, and our holy communion, communication points in the life of the blessed and holy Trinity. So in praying this prayer, Jesus says, this is who we are. This is who you are. This is who I am. What good news. What amazing good news it is that Jesus prays for us. And through His prayer, His unceasing intercession on our behalf. I am so thankful that He has that intercessory prayer that He prays for us. That we become more than we would otherwise be. Through His prayer, we become the church. God's gift for the life of the world. Through His prayer, you and I become the church. And that is His gift for the life that we have in this world. He calls us to pray. He says, let us pray. Let us pray. Think about that this week. Every time you have an opportunity to pray, to say, let us pray. I was with a group this week, and there was some little children involved. And as we were sitting around a table, getting ready to eat, and everybody got their plate, and everybody was sitting there, one of the adults started eating, and one of the kids says, you can't eat. And that's exactly about 4 years old. Said, you can't eat till we pray. And of course, they said, you're right, I made a mistake. And it just reminded me of thinking, little children will tell you exactly because that's what they know and that's what they've learned and they know it, and all of a sudden this kid says, we can't eat yet because we've not prayed. In other words, put your fork down. And they kind of got that, they kind of embarrassed the lady a little bit. But she said, you know, you're right. And I need to think about that more. No matter if I'm by myself or if I'm with a whole group of people, then I need to take the time to thank God for what He's given me this day, what He's allowed me to be a part of, what He's allowed me to partake in. So remember that this week, that when you come together with your family and friends or even with yourself, that we need to pray. Let us pray. Great and mighty God, what an honor this day to be in this place with your people. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your dedication, devotion, and commitment to sinners such as we are. We ask, Lord, this day that you continue to bless our time as we go into this rest of our day, as we gather with family and friends and community, as we remember and know how blessed we are by having the mothers that we have had or continue to have in our lives. We ask, Lord, this day that you continue to be with us and remind us that we need to live for you in all that we do. For it is in your Son's great and holy name we do pray. Amen.